happy for that. Regardless, give God all the praise and glory. Father, we worship
you. Father, we thank you, Jesus. So God, we worship you. God, we
worship you. We
worship you. Jesus, we worship your majesty.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
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 We give you all the praise. Thank you for what you are set to do tonight.
Thank
and
you,
not just
Jesus.
Tonight, thank you for what you are set to do in this season.
Oh, yes.
Our hearts are opened up to the things that you are set to do. Thank you, because it is an arrangement of your kingdom and of your agenda that you have proposed in this season. So, Lord, we give you praise. We avail ourselves fully as instruments dedicated wholly for your service. Instruments dedicated wholly for your service. Lord Jesus Christ, have your way in everything. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let everyone that avails themselves tonight and in this season abound with the genuineness of encounter.
Amen.
And in this season also, Lord, we pray and ask. Thank you, Adonai, for what you are said to do. And thank you, Lord, for the encounters that are bound tonight. To you, Lord, the praise and glory. For in Jesus' most precious name, we pray.
Amen.
Can we go ahead? Let's appreciate God. Let's give him thanks and glory.
And we thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Father. Thank you, my Redeemer. We thank you for coming to this tonight.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
In Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I want to welcome everyone tonight that is here already, and also those who are joining later as we proceed. I thank God for this great privilege to be here with us today again. And it's a privilege from him, and we thank him for that. Also, congratulate everyone that is here. And also, I appreciate God on your behalf that you are able to be here tonight and you are able to join in. My counsel is, as much as you can, don't shift an inch until you conclude tonight with us, because there are such things packaged for tonight. Father, we praise. Lord, thank you for tonight. This seal to us tonight, and let your flows begin in Jesus' name. Like we were saying, there are certain packages for tonight. What changes a man's level is access, because spiritual things are very real. God is real, the things of God are very real. Access is critical to your ascent in life. Access is critical to ascent. Access is critical to your change from who you are to who you expect to be. Access is critical to obtaining promises. That is why God said to the prophet, through the prophet Isaiah, he said, I will give you access to the hidden riches of secret places and the treasures of darkness. Now, the word darkness there does not connote that it is evil. The word darkness there connotes that it is hidden. It is not on the surface. It is covered. Jesus said to the disciples, But to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them it is not given. So it's a matter of what is given and what is not given. What Christ was saying to those folks that day was that to you, God is giving you access to come into revelation of some things in the kingdom. But to these people, it is not given to them. And it is not just that you will gain revelation or no on alone. It doesn't stop at revelation. It is what is lying behind the revelation. In common statements, they say knowledge is power. What it means is that there is something knowledge equips a person with. Also spiritually, there's what access to mysteries equips a person with. It changes them. Spiritual knowledge is about transformation, changing. It is true even in the other realm. When people start learning, practicing all manner of dark wisdom, occultism, witchcraft, wizardry, they come into contact with learning books. They sit under grandmasters and they teach them some things. Some of them transcend into planes in realms and encounter occultic personalities in realms, and they are taught mysteries. Oh, you don't know that. You don't know that. They transcend. That's why you see they do meditation. They do what they call astral projection. They project their soul and consciousness into dimensions and have encounters with other people in their realm and fellowship in their wisdom, their demonic wisdom. And then before they come, they will sit in their table and use their consciousness to move objects and use it to bend reality. You can see traces of that kind of truth displayed in this Marvel comic. They call it Doctor Strange, right? This comic book that Marvel writes, that Hollywood has really taken it forward to adapt it into movies. But Jesus said to his disciples, to you it is given to know this, the secrets of the kingdom. And this is about kingdoms, this is about secrets. These folks that project their consciousness to other realms sit down to learn from other folks how to operate within their demonic realm to gain mastery and power. But the kingdom of light is superior to every kingdom, which makes God's servant to say that, Bishop David Oyedepo to say that, the mysteries of the kingdom is stronger than the strongest cult on it. That they defeat the devil hands down. In line with that, he caught a mystery of scriptures, and then the next time he was speaking somewhere, he gave an altar call for people who were witches to come out. And they obeyed him and came out. And he asked them, what do you do on the highway? They say, when we are bloodthirsty, we get on the highway, cause accident, and suck the blood of the victims. This is life testimony. This is not made up, and this is not just anyhow person giving this. This is from a trustworthy source of his own personal encounter. And then he asked them, so what happens when you see people like us coming? They say, when we sense there's a higher power, we clear out of the highway. Now, what put him at that edge where he had the consciousness that he was superior to this was when the light of God shined through the world to him. He had access to the mystery of light and then understood the reality of his authority because he was in the kingdom of light. This is not something you acquire through Bible study. This is what comes to you having done Bible study as an extra operation of the Holy Spirit, which is called spiritual revelation. When these people that operate the dark realm begin to progress and ascend in their field, they gain access to mysteries and mysteries. That's why it's called the secret cult. People don't know that the word occult actually is a scientific word.
The word occult is not a bad word. Occult comes from what is referred to as occultation. Occultation is what happens when one heavenly body covers another one, like what happens during an eclipse, when the earth or the moon comes in between the sun and the earth, such that the light rays from the sun is partially blocked from reaching the earth. Then there's a temporal moment of darkness. That, in scientific terms and in astronomy, is referred to as occultation. You say that an occultation has occurred. The word occult is a verb. When you say it is occulted, it means it is hidden. So when they say people belong to an occult, it means they belong to a body of people who veil themselves under a darkness and do things under a mystery. That's why I see they won't have their services the way a church holds service and put banner and hold Sunday service and everybody knows the church is going. They go to covens of darkness. And even if they do and open something, you can't understand what they are talking about. They like to conceal their knowledge. The truth is that there is such design in creation. Access is what is required. And every sacrifice you do in Christ Jesus, every longing, every waiting, every desire, every prayer, every fasting, it will only bring you to a place where you will be granted access. Somebody, your prayers of years ago, your fastings of years ago, your longings and your prayer request of years, every year, Lord, I want to know you more, I want to know you more. God has answered that prayer by bringing you on a platform where you will gain access beginning from tonight. Which is why I said to someone, don't shift an inch tonight until you come into full conclusion of what God has said to you. So, this is so important. Access will cause you to ascend. You already see in the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 2, Paul said that I went up by revelation. That is, there was a transition, a move I took because I had light. David said in the book, in his Psalms, he says, send down your light and thy truth. Let them lead me to you. That means there's a conveyance that occurs when a man possesses light and access. Tonight you are brought into a platform and the midst of a gathering by grace, to have access to certain things that, like the dark world, we confer upon you a depth of spiritual dimension that it will be hard for certain things to ever attempt to stand before you. And anyone that attempts to stand before you will surely be beaten down. I say this tonight so that someone who has joined in tonight will stay here very focused, watching for the word of God. Spirit tonight. When God's word comes, whatever channel we have said tonight, speaks to you by God tonight. Doesn't matter the loudspeaker. In addition to a word from God tonight, if you open your spirit, I believe we prayed for in August, on right over here, all the way in the city, into a new experience. And God had spoke to him and said that the sign of the word is that is a music minister, is that your guitar, your musical instrument will be changed. And you can see that the testimony is complete, that the guitar was changed. And when he ministered with the guitar, it was another whole dimension. He was ministering and Christ was being revealed to somebody right then. That's the essence of that testimony. It's a new level. I'm saying all of this, and we are taking all the time to say this so that nobody misses out on what is possible on the table tonight. It's like somebody, you are called before a banquet. If you want some wine, look, there's wine on the desk. It's not when the banquet is over and then somebody told you, do you know there was wine there? You say, why? There was wine? I didn't know, and I wanted to have some wine. And the banquet is over, and they have taken the wine back to the store for another banquet again. There is so much available here on this banquet table, on this round table of Christ Jesus. Now, look and seek what you want, so that when it is being served, you will also stretch forth your hand and say, Lord, I desire, and then it will be yours. That's why I say that God is answering somebody's prayer of many years by giving you access tonight. I count it by God a privilege on the behalf of everyone to be receivers of the tablets of Christ that's about to be set before us, which is why we are preparing you in reception, not just to deliver, but to prepare. The Bible says, break up now the fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord till he comes to reign righteousness. So there is a preliminary operation before the rain. Say, break the ground. This is what we call a breaking of the ground, so that the seed of the word of God, once planted, will produce fruit and bring forth according. And so, by God, we welcome you into this experience. Jesus is Lord. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for all these men and women that are here. Once again, Lord, let everyone live. And with you, your person, in the praise and glory of your name, be thou magnified. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen. Tonight I bring you a very strong word from God, and it will speak through the month of October. It's so powerful, I want you to catch it. Some of you may not catch it in one listening. That's why you have to get the audios by the following week when they are ready. But if you catch it and receive it and comprehend it and master it, you will be too young for the dimension you will be operating. You look too young for the realm that you comfortably by God minister and operate from, if you can, if you receive it. Which is why I will, whatever it is within your capacity, to fully receive what is now set to be set before you as a provision from God on this round table. Father, I will give you praise. In this season, I'll be bringing us into the revelation of God's one, the revelation of this mystery of Christ that is captured realms in Christ. Realms in Christ. Remember, I advised us a couple of weeks ago that everyone should get a round table notebook so that they can be jotting insight as it flows, to fellowship with it until the audios come, and then the fellowship is taken to another level. So when I say realms in Christ, somebody has written down the topic on their notepads. Realms in realms in Christ. In the breaking of this seal and of this mystery of Christ, it is sealed with a mystery, a prophetic statement. And that is what I want to begin with, by reading to us the prophetic statements that binds these scrolls together. And this is it. There is coming, Kalababa Yekoshke, let me get here. But I will give you praise. Masheko Torah. I read this mystery to us. It's a prophetic
Father, we praise.
He said, there is coming a generation whose destiny it is to possess realms in Christ Jesus. Now, somebody say, what does that mean? Prescience of prophetic things and scrolls. You know, when you buy a book or you get a product, it states what it is in a succinct statement. This, changing your world. It's more like a slogan around it. It's more like a succinct descriptive template. If you get a textbook, let's say it's a textbook on maybe engineering mathematics A-level, you now see maybe like a slogan or something on it that describes it for engineers and software developers, or just for O-level and under. It's just a statement that gives you further insight. Literature that says, maybe the book is titled Abraham, and then you see under it, persevering in faith, God's promises, as a sub, just a caption that throws light. Around this realm that we are speaking from to you now, it's more like a bind around the scroll that says, there is coming destiny it is to possess realms in Christ. What that means is this, that a generation will rise, and it's according to that it's given to them, it has been assigned, it's an expectation from heaven over them, or it is a mark from heaven, or a cutoff from heaven, or a requirement that they should possess realms in Christ Jesus. What that brings to you to understand is that the purpose of this encounter with this illumination and light tonight is towards the fulfillment of a prophetic agenda. And that prophetic agenda is succinctly summarized in this revelation that there is coming to possess realms in Christ. And if you are part of the generation I'm talking about, then there is a requirement of Christ is looking over you and waiting and desiring his heart that you come possess some realms in him. And then somebody is like, what do we mean by destiny generation coming possess some realms? That is why you are now within this prophetic pathway to educate you and illuminate your spirit until you are vision and understanding, and begin to attain to this template or this standard that Christ has placed over your head, or the deep over your head, that you being part of this generation, it is required that you come possess some realms in Christ. How small or how old you are, for as long as you identify with the workings of God in the present times, then the demand is also laid on your. And so wherever you go in the spirit realm, there is a testament over you in Christ. Ethical agenda that is being revealed and unsealed. Encounter in light tonight is requirement and demand of heaven to your participation according to yielded. There is coming a generation in Christ. Generation. They are here already. me according to a prophetic requirement or to possess realms in Christ. Not to see, possess. You know what they say? This guy likes a very possessive person. He likes to. He owns the realm. He has a sense of a shareholdership, stakeholder, field of interest. You are a realm in Christ Jesus. What that means, that you are inadvertent for what is written for you. Of course, you are here. If you can hear, this has come to you. God said to Jeremiah, I knew you and I ordained you as a prophet. Speak, for I am a child. He said, do not say that. Do not say that. Agenda just for your life. It's an agenda. For as long as you identify with you and you agree, yes, I am in Christ generally, then you have, by that identification, implicated yourself for this requirement, possess realms in Christ Jesus. The objective of this encounter, it is you to speak to that requirement and demand. Nothing will fail. Nothing will fail in the name of Jesus. We are in this progression that is defined as realms, as a rolling stone, whose destiny to possess realms in Christ. What that means, the people that will do the work of God using these days will be realms in Christ. The people in these days of realms. Go ahead, pray in your spirit where you are. You have heard this word in these few minutes. Now pray in your spirit. Pray in your spirit. Pray in your spirit. Masheko tolo bratabas ketele bratabas rapatakale doratame seketele debia. Ikokuratia babarana metoprona dabaletush. Peleteke skupala dagadakala batakatakala bush. Rapakatekele preteketus kapala batakatabada bush. Repeketeskopala dabada. Pray in your spirit where you are. Rapataka is given to me to possess realms in Christ. Pray, pray, pray. As you are praying, the Holy Spirit is doing things inside you. It's making you ready, ready, ready. It's helping your spirit now, posturing you properly so that you can make meaning and profit out of tonight. Lekita buarede el kapanda muperede elba kosheke da buderete kense pelede aba mitekuna babu ketekena batikulu tepele te panda. Ma esko paladi iske polada, ma esko perede barata barata, raadesko pelete miska palada, e prata buse kerede, rapata kilobutu moluta kaba. Thank you, mighty God. Follow me, please. In the name of Jesus. As we were just praying, I felt the leading to state this. Please pay attention to what we want to say. This, what is happening tonight is, we are all being carried into certain things. When we begin to enter into Christ Jesus, there's going to be a filtration into strata. And what I mean to strata is that into diverse realms. Because the realms of this person may not be the realms of that person. But nevertheless, it's more like a holistic encounter that everybody will have their own personal encounter. Because I can be your teacher in school and teach you engineering, but some persons will shift to civil engineering, another to electronics engineering, another to aeronautics engineering. So you must understand that your personal participation and responsibility is necessary here, because I won't come into your classroom and learn for you. I can't come into your classroom and learn for you. I can't enter Peter's classroom in Christ now, where he's entering, to come and help him learn. But I'm going to show him dimensions and guide that afterwards, because it's not a once and for all experience, it's something that is going to fall, it's going to be a forger of your life. This is what they call an encounter of a lifetime. Because when somebody teaches you how to read, it doesn't teach you every word that exists in the English vocabulary. It only teaches you the mysteries and the syntax of articulating English words. And then when you go to anywhere in the world, as long as anything is written in English alphabet, you can read it. Some of you are hearing new words in this year for the first time. Your teacher didn't teach you that when he taught you to read. But when you saw the word, you could pronounce it, even though you didn't know what it meant. It's because you were not taught every word that existed in English. It's because you were not taught every word that existed in English, but rather you were taught how to articulate an English word. What that means is, I won't teach you how to read every word in every word that exists. But if you pay attention to the coordination and to the guide, every word you encounter in years to come, you can pronounce. So take the responsibility to be accountable for what will happen to you tonight and onwards. Because there's going to be a filtration into class. You know, when you bring people into a university settings, all of them are students, but after a while they filter them into departments or to faculties. And inside of faculties, they are filtered into departments. And into departments, when they proceed further, they are filtered into specialization. When you do electrical electronics, you can either focus on electrical installations or transmission, you focus on electronics, or you focus on telecommunication. But it's all electronics engineering. So people are filtered. What we are saying is, you have a role to play in what will happen to you from this night. And so, as a first step in this experience, as we have begun to see, I'm going to bring us into the teaching of the light, the experience of tonight, that is captioned "The Reality of Realms." Remember, we are in realms in Christ Jesus. So now we are looking at the reality of realms. That is where to begin. Somebody said, we read out a prophetic script that said there is coming a generation whose destiny it is to possess realms in Christ Jesus. So somebody's like, where do we begin? How? That doesn't even apply so much to my level of comprehension at the present stage. So that is where you now listen. So tonight we begin in this experience at what is captioned here now already, the reality of realms. What is to be achieved at the end of this encounter tonight is that you will fully possess understanding as to what a realm is. Not a distant understanding, but an understanding that is you are familiar with. Like when I say a car, you know what a car is. But when I say something like a comet, you have a distant comprehension of what a comet is, because you have heard of it, or maybe you have not, but you haven't seen it. So by the time when they say a realm, you have an at-home comprehension, because it's not something that is distant from your spiritual environment. It's something you understand. If I say a ceiling fan, everybody relates with it because it's something that is available in almost every home, or maybe an air conditioner. But if I say a fan, you know what that means. If I say a desk, you know what it means. So by the end of tonight, when they talk about realm, you will be at home with it. Jesus is Lord. So tonight we will begin from reading our scriptures, and our takeoff scriptures will be two, basically and principally, and then we'll roll into others as we proceed. But let's take off from two scriptures from tonight in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And this is almost like what I've been talking about that Paul is praying here. He said, right, let's start from verse 15. See, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. All right. And then we proceed to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Let's start from verse 4. It said that, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. With Christ, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. See, by grace you have been saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, we give you praise. Glory to God. So we see these two scriptures. The first scripture in chapter 1 tells us that when he raised Christ up, he made him to sit in heavenly places. The second scripture in chapter 2 tells us that he made us to sit also in heavenly places in Christ. So tonight we want to talk about realm, because as a matter, sometimes when somebody say in the realm of spirit, in this realm, in that realm, certain people have made a default understanding, assigned a default perception to it. And most times people just see maybe like a white mist or a cloud or a place that looks like some of these things you see in some musical videos where the people's feet are covered with cloud and then the whole place is white and then it's just hazy. That's what they understand the realm to be. And some other people don't even know what to think. So what we are going to do tonight is we'll look at the reality of realms. To know what it is. Now, already we understand that there is such a thing as realm. I'll bring us to that knowledge. We've taken on from two scriptures, more scriptures will come. There's such things or such a thing as realm. But you see, the word realm is not a spiritual word. The word realm is not a spiritual word. It's not like, you know, a word where you say anointing. So when somebody says anointing, you know, this anointing is a word that is exclusively reserved for spiritual things. You don't go to a business conference and then they bring a speaker, and then the speaker talks about the anointing to do work as a HR. Unless it is a Christian organization that you understand. You don't go to a board meeting in the US and then you see the business analyst or the business development team making reference to anointing. No. Unless if they are a Christian business organization. So you already see that the secular world, the word anointing, is not a word that the secular world will favor. But there are other words also that everybody uses. Like the word like work. It's not a spiritualized, it's not exclusive to a particular group of people. So the word realm is not like a word that is just like the word anointing, like we said. Anybody can use realm, but really anybody can use anointing, but most people don't find a context to use it because they are not coming from that direction. Like we said, you can't find in a business setting where there are non-Christians there and they talk about the anointing. The anointing is used to describe something that is exclusive to people who understand the operation of the Holy Spirit. And even if they make mention of it there, they're not making mention of it with any with reference to experience or any other thing. But you see, the word realm is not like that. And so when we began to look into this, we went further to look at the etymology so that we can share it with you. And what we mean by etymology, etymology is like the history of a word. It's not a Christian or a spiritual word. The word realm is a secular word. And the etymology talks about, we do linguistics, it talks about the history of a word, where a word came from, and how it changed to be what it is now. It's a transformation of a word. Like, there are lots of words like that are in vernacular, but after a while, the vernacular words have been taken to become part of the English vocabulary with a method that we won't go into now. So, when you look at the word realm actually comes from Latin. And actually, the Latin word is regalim. It's from the same words that you have things like regime. The real word actually talks about to rule in terms of the Latin meaning. It talks about to rule. So, whenever you come into encounter with the word realm, what it means, the word realm is used to describe a territory that is under a specific rule, or more importantly, is territory or a domain. And when you talk about a domain, you talk about a region, a place in space, a sphere, a state, or a geographic plane or territory. Now, it refers to a kingdom. I hope you know the word domain. Domain talks about a region. And you know that kingdom actually comes from a king's domain, which is why it's kingdom. A kingdom where a king's domain encompasses. Kingdom, king's domain. Kingdom. Do you understand? So when you talk about a realm, secularly, it talks about a space. That's why a dimension is fair. And it can be real, it can be imaginary, it can be logical, it can be abstract. Like we hear somebody say in the realms of mathematics or in the realms of medical practice. They talk about a logical aspect of human endeavor. So when you hear realm, it doesn't bring to your mind an automatic statement that is exclusive. It really captures a secular word that is used to convey the meaning of an aspect. Now, this is going to be so interesting. I want to decouple every assumption you have so that we can build you from scratch, that you have genuine understanding, or build by God this the comprehension in you from the building blocks. So when they say realm, don't automatically apply it to something. It's a secular word that any man can use, and it talks about a domain, a territory, a sphere, an aspect of creation, or an aspect of human endeavor or life. So whatever you're doing, sports is another realm on this. A geographical location also can be a realm. The usage of the word realm in scriptures is very interesting. The word realm is mentioned in 7 places in scriptures. That is, in the English version of scriptures, particularly the King James version. Are we together? Please pay attention. You must get this. Or you must get it, please. And it's used in 7 places through scriptures. Interestingly, the 7 places that it is used in the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, and then it is used in the book of Daniel, making together a total of 7 usage in the English King James Version. In Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, in the book of Ezra, and then abundantly in the book of Daniel. Now, for every instance it is used in the book of Daniel, it is used to refer to an environment where a king's authority is over. Take for instance, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 30 said, "So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet." The realm, that is his kingdom, the place where his rule encompassed. In Ezra chapter 17 verse 13, he said, "I make a decree that all there, the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm," that is the king speaking, when they were reading the decree of the king of Tigal Cyrus, when he asked them to go and build the temple of the Lord. Look at it in Ezra chapter 7 verse 23. He said, "Why should there be a rot against the realm of the king?" Daniel chapter 1 verse 20. "Then the king found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm." Maybe if we go further, you see that in Daniel chapter 6 verse 3, where there were 3 present and the king wanted to set Daniel over as head, look at what is said. "And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Daniel chapter 6 verse 3. Then Daniel 9:1. "In the first year of Darius the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans." Now, you see the word realm. They are not used in the temple. They were talking about kings and their governments. And the state and political entity that their rule had dominion over. Now listen, I want to push you further now, or push your understanding further in thoughts, in your thinking further. But when Daniel wrote his book, the book of Daniel, parts of it were written in Aramaic and parts of it were written in Hebrew. When the one who wrote the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 30, that book was not written in English. The one who wrote the book of Daniel, he didn't write it in English. So when Daniel was writing his book, he didn't write realm. When Ezra was writing his book in the book of Ezra, it wasn't realm he wrote, because at this time the English language had not evolved yet. Yes, there's such thing as evolution of languages. As at this time, the language of English had not evolved. So these folks didn't use a realm when they were writing. They used a word to describe what they meant. But when the scholars, the Greek scholars, the Hebrew scholars, when, according to the authority of the King James, who was the King of England, who ordered and instructed that an English edition should be made of the Holy Scriptures for the people in his kingdom, which is why the King James, the real name of the King James Version is actually the Authorized Version of the Bible. You look at it, you see the Authorized King James Version. It's there in every King James. And if it's not there, then it's just because they didn't want to add it there. But if you are using the King James, you see it written Authorized Version. The Hebrew scholars who did the translation, when they came across those portions of scripture, they chose to use the word that was near in meaning or that completely translated the Hebrew word into English. The same way, if I speak a word in vernacular, in Hausa, in Yoruba, in Idoma, in Igbo, in Igala, or whatever language, if I mention the word fire in your language, you translate it as fire in English. So they thought to use the word that was equivalent to what these folks were saying in English, because they were Englishmen. They were trying to translate the Bible into English. So they sought a near word and they chose the word realm. So we will have further insight when we go to understand the words that were used in the original Hebrew, to see the word used and why the scholars decided to translate the word as realm. And so a singular word was used all through the Hebrew Bible, and that word is the Greek Hebrew word Malkut. In 2 Chronicles 20:30, Ezra, Daniel, where it was translated realm, the word there was Malkut. I know what Malkut means. It means kingdom. It talks about a king's sovereign power over a place. It talks about his reign over a realm. When they say, and all these regions were the reign of the king, David, it shows you that his power stretched over there. The same way the president of a country's executive powers is only recognizable across the boundaries of his nation. The president of the United States can't come to a country in Africa and want to pass a law. His authority is not recognized here. He's outside of the boundary of his powers. He may be honored as being a president of a country, but it is just based on modesty and what is acceptable in in diplomatic situations. But he can't come and say, this is what should be done, and then the legislative powers take into account. He has no jurisdiction. So when they use the word realm, they talk about the king's realm or the territory of his dominion. When the people who did the translation of the Bible found that Malkut, it occurred to them that the nearest word to use is in English language is a realm, because the realm talks about a territory, a claim, a height, a domain, a kingdom, a state, an environment, a sphere, a category of reality, a dimension. So the reality of realms, first of all, to know what it means, that it is not just an exclusive word, it's inclusive, and it conveys according to the things that you have heard. So when they say the realm of the king, you already saw it in scriptures as we have looked at the realm of the king. It talks about a place. Father, we give you praise. Having seen this, what is the reality of realms? Are realms real? Are there realms in creation? Or you have showed us to understand realms. Where does this take us? Remember, we are looking at the reality of realms. We have already, if you pay attention to the things we have said, we have pointed out physical and natural realms, pointed to you the authority of kings and kingdoms, showing you the sphere in terms of definition in lingua and by revelation through scriptures. They sought to set Daniel over the whole realm. But there are realms in creation. And the realms we intend to make you see is not the realms, physical realms. We only move to show you the understanding of the word, so that in comprehending what it means, when we move further, you have the right perspective of where it's coming from. It will assist you to receive the light that comes, because the light of God, we have to be captured in words. You must understand words to know what God is saying, which is why God will not speak to you in a language you do not understand. God will not give you instruction in Spanish. He will speak to you in English, because he knows his word, his light to you must come in a word that you can receive. Paul speaking said, these things we speak not in words that man's wisdom teacheth, but in words which the Holy Spirit himself teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That is, we try to carve out words to capture the revelation of the Spirit, so that when we speak it to you in words, you'll be able to receive it. So if you are going to really make most of God's word, you must understand the natural language that it is. Then you, because the natural language is, which is the logos, is a receptacle or a container of the Spirit, which is the rhema. So God will not speak to you in Spanish, because he knows you do not understand Spanish, unless there's an interpreter, or he will give you interpretation himself. So we are not, now we are talking about realms in creation, and we mean the realms that are bound by God. They are physical realms, but I want to show you the reality of other realms, which is why tonight is captioned the reality of realms. We want to show you the reality of other realms, because some persons don't believe in of course, those kind of people obviously can't be here, but there are people that are so locked up, some may be here, that are so locked up in what they see and their environment. And when they think about realm, they think it's an ethereal subject, maybe it's like a concept in the mind. When they say it's in the realm of, it's okay, it's a concept in the mind. We want to disavow that and replace it with the light of what the scripture teaches us. So what is the reality of realms? We look at that in the opening script passage of portion of scripture that opens the scripture. And that is Genesis chapter 1. That portion of scripture is the first revelation that God will have us encounter as we access his word. And that was his word through the prophet Moses. So whenever you turn the scripture, you encounter that mystery before you proceed. It's the gateway. Which is to say that before God, at the beginning of scripture, God left a gate for us. That when we enter through, to access the rest of the portion, we must pass through the gates. Tonight we want to pass through the beginning gates of scriptures that reveal this land. And that is in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible speaks in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. Are we there tonight? Glory.
Sir.
The Bible says, the book of Genesis 1, verse 1. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, let's look at that tonight. When most of the times when people read that scripture, they say God created the heavens and the earth. And so they say the heavens and then the earth. And then they say, okay, this heaven is God's heaven. No. God does not have any business telling us when he created his own realm. The Hebrew word for heaven is Shamayim. And at times it can mean the heavens where God dwells, or it means the sky, or what we refer to as the observable universe, or for better understanding, the physical world. But I like to use the phrase observable universe. It's what you can discover by observation without any further assistance. You can already see that the science, the physicists, the astronomers have been able to project and have details beyond even our solar system, and they are cataloging galaxies and stars outside the realm of our solar system. Now you are seeing, I'm using the word realm to describe our solar system. So when most people say, okay, no. So in the context of Hebrew, when they talk about heaven, the same with heaven, the word they use for God's heaven or the universe or the cosmos, the word they use is Shamayim. So it's one word. If you don't know the context which is speaking, you will mistake it. Like the Hebrew word uses the word Ruach for spirit, like the spirit of Holy Spirit, or for wind, like when wind is blowing, or for breath. So when somebody is speaking in Hebrew and uses the word Ruach, for you to know he's talking about wind or he's talking about the spirit, you must look at the context he's speaking about. So that's why you see the Holy Spirit in Hebrew is called Ruach HaKodesh, meaning the Holy Spirit. But when you look about the wind or the breath of all flesh, you still see they use the word Ruach to talk about breath in living things. So the Bible teaches us that in the beginning, God created the observable universe, the cosmos, and then he made the Eretz, which is the earth, referring to this particular sphere that we live in. Mind you, according to this revelation, it was in the beginning. But listen, Moses wrote the book. In the book, he had to start the book by saying, in the beginning. That beginning is in time, not in eternity. So he had to start from a place. And that's why he started from the beginning, not God's beginning. So from that's when God began to create time. We have a transcript of series of teachings like this, which we did about 2 years ago. In the beginning, when time started, he said God created the observable universe, the heavens, the stars, and everything, and then he made the earth. But at this time, there was no man. If you follow through the chronology of creation, man came later at chapter 1 verse 27, which was on the sixth day. But you see, before man came, God had started to create. What God was creating was a realm. You may not see that earth is a realm, because initially you thought that realm has to do with a cloud. But every environment that is a domain and can host is a realm. When God began to create the heavens, the Shamayim, according to Hebrew, the observable universe, and then he started to make the earth inside that heaven, which is the universe, because the earth is part of the solar system. The solar system is part of the galaxy. The galaxy is part of the universe. The universe is all together the cosmological dimension of existence. What would this creation? When God started to make those things, he was creating a realm from scratch. that is the realm he will now put man. So if nobody has told you already, you are in a realm already. The angels in heavens, in God's plane, when they refer to it, they call it the world of men. That is man's realm. When God began, in the beginning, Elohim created the observable universe, the cosmos, and then he created the earth. That singular phrase opens you up to the creation of a realm. Where he will place the man, he will create eventually. So step, look at the stars, the houses, the trees around you, the earth and the rivers. This is a realm. Kalabakash Ketelebos. This is a realm. This is a realm. In the beginning, Elohim created the observable universe. What I mean, what is meant by observable universe is what can be seen with telescope, by observation. Today, there are powerful telescopes that you can view the Milky Way. You can view planets from the earth clearly and see Saturn's rings, and look at Jupiter clearly and see the atmosphere of Jupiter and see the pattern on it from Earth. We have Hubble's telescope, powerful telescope with unbelievable magnifying capacity of lenses. They can observe as far as, matter of fact, that they are telling us that there are daughter galaxies that look like our own galaxies. They can tell you that from the observation, the universe is stretching, and they are telling you concepts and entities that are available in space. The last one I saw, now they are discovering particles that are defying law of physics. They call it free float particles, identifying diverse things. Now they are powering unmanned ships all the way to another planet and taking pictures and using long distance transmission of video feeds from other planets, and no man is there. All of these were together, because when the scripture say God created heaven, he didn't talk about the planet, he went straight to earth. He didn't mean God didn't create Mercury. Just that Moses was quick. Moses can't begin to detail everything. So he mentioned a generalistic statement and then focused on where the emphasis is, because God was not giving information for the sake of information, was giving revelation for the sake of purpose. So he made say God made Shamayim and Eretz. He said, and now the earth. He focused back on the earth. He didn't care again. And then he made reference to God setting stars in the sky and putting just to far. Then he focused on man. And maybe he said God made man. He left about when God, how God put the stars and the laws of physics. He just went starting talking about God. Because the Bible is not a scientific book. It's a book of God's revelation to man. So God didn't have to explain the laws that govern the solar system. In the beginning, God made heaven and earth. Heaven, the heavens. It's the same way that David said in the book of Psalm 19, verse 1, that the heavens declare your glory. That is the Shamayim, the stars, the moon, the solar system, the ordinances of heavenly bodies. They reveal the masterpiece of your wisdom. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, that means the entities that are residential in the plane above. The firmament, talking about this, the stars, the sun, and the elements of the above. They declare, the word declare is daba, to speak. They reveal the glory of God. In the beginning, God created. Not he broke out, he from scratch, he created heaven and earth. And after a while, he put man
inside Israel. Today we call the earth, earth, and then we call heaven, heaven. Before God, it is one realm. That's why you see today men are living, doing what they call deep space exploration, traveling several miles outside of our solar system to observe things, outside of the earth, observing the solar system. Let's keep that. It's one realm with possibilities abound for observation. When God was doing that, said in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. And then he was making a realm for man. So, are there such things as realm? Yes, you are in a realm tonight. Man has always been in a realm. The reality of realms. Father, we praise. Tonight, you have received one layer of perception. We don't want to push you further beyond this plane. So, we won't go beyond again. It's not a matter of just, no. This is the first administration you must comprehend. Like I said, we are in an experience that we accomplish a work inside of you. So tonight you must be sure that you understand what realm means now, according to the etymological and definitive exegesis that has been done on the word. And then you must come to the point where you agree that you comprehend the reality of realms according to what was said tonight. If you are not sure, then you go through your notes and comprehend it and pray and tongue on it until it breaks off as light to you. Because so many people are either your spirit is just, but you continually praying it until you are entering it further. Then tomorrow when you come again, we pick up from this journey and you move. So that by the end of this season, as God ordains, you will be another individual because you have comprehended things and stuff that is changing you and will change you. So do you know what realm is? Yes. How? Because we have seen it through scriptures and through usage by etymology of study, or by study of its etymology. The Hebrew word is malkut. It talks about a domain and a kingdom. And then we understand that in the beginning, God created this realm for man, which is why he said, have dominion over the earth. Because realm, again, talks about dominion. He's a master over these living creatures. He talks about rule. So when God created this creation, it fits into a context that is captured appropriately in realm. And they sought to set Daniel over the whole realm and all of these that were in the king's realm. Dominion, it talks about the king's dominion, the word malkut, the Hebrew word that the scholars saw in those books and said the nearest word in English is to translate this word as a realm. Clearly, you see it that God gave to man dominion. It was a realm. Kobelenesh kapanta yeko parata bre kesinda makai kumpetia deve kuzu brete misi kapala diane nefretes kupata rababare koshendra labamatia refeke soprata katakanabara. Today, your accesses are becoming open right now. There are some of you, your doors are being dusted to open up floodgates of dimensions. Floodgates of dimensions. At the other end of this light,
Karabadesko Pelediada. At the other end of this life is a great transition, is a great transformation into glory. He said, we all are with unveiled face, behold as the glass, the glory of Christ. We are changed. You really change. Listen, the Greek word used for change in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 is the word metamorpho. 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 Metamorpho is where the English people brought out their own word, metamorphosis. Metamorphosis in scientific usage refers to the transition of one living organism from one stage to another, that it is not comparable. A butterfly will begin as larva, it's looking like a maggot, and then give it a completion of cycle. You see it spread out its wings. Next time you see a butterfly, Google the photo of a larva and say, is it this living creature that is this living creature? Nothing like that. Look, they don't look alike in any respect. But what happened? They underwent or went through the process of metamorphosis. Paul says, when you behold the glory of God, metamorpho will occur in your spirit. That is metamorphosis. You may be looking like a lover, but by the time Christ's revelation is accomplished to a level in you, you come out gloriously as a butterfly with beautiful wings. What we are saying is, you can become a contradiction to what you are now by access and comprehension and beholding the light of Christ's glory. Anyone who is serious with their life takes Christ's revelation seriously, because there is no serious change until one is face to face with a serious dimension of God. There's no joking dimension, don't misunderstand me, but I'm talking about intensity. And there's no other serious encounter with God as with a genuine encounter with the person of his word, which is Christ himself. The word of God is not grammar, it's a person. The word was made flesh. Metamorpho comes through beholding. So tonight, as we are rounding up and about to round up, pray in tongues until it breaks into you. See, you will transit. We are not speaking based on theoretical apprehension. We have transited many times by the gift of God, by the grace of God, by the help of God. We continually transit, changing from one individual. As a matter of fact, there was a period that they changed, the drastic dichotomy that occurred between this person and that person was too much, until somebody close told me, as close said, something about you has really changed. You are not the same individual that you were a couple of months ago before you were, when you were here and you left and then returned. Something changed. That was because, and in that period, that was those season where the encounter with this, with Christ himself, began to intensify by his gifts, by his word, by his grace. And it broke every, it just changed again. It's not like we're operating spiritual grace, the anointing of grace was flowing. But when it happens, it's the inside with the idea, it's a change. And every time again, there is a change. And every time we look forward again to the transition from glory to glory by beholding that accomplishes metamorpho. That's why he said that everybody will filter into classes. I will write your exam for you. I will not learn for you. Learning is a responsibility of the individual. If somebody will not learn, you can't force knowledge on them. If somebody will not receive, you can't force insight. Learning is everyone's personal responsibility. You commit yourself to learn. To acquire insight, you position yourself to acquire, to receive. That is why everyone we hear tonight, but the measure of Christ's work in everyone will not be equal. Because everyone will do differently, even though they have heard equally. Listen, everyone will do differently, even though they have heard equally. That is why the accomplishment of Christ will not be the same. You can already see Paul says, I am what I am by God's grace, but nevertheless, I labored more abundantly than all of them. Yet not I. He made mention to an eye. It wasn't an eye of pride. It was an eye showing you the place of responsibility. What will you now do tonight? It's a very simple just serve tonight. You know the way they serve food on the table. Just two things were said. Two. Now, comprehend all of this by God before tomorrow. Let it sink into you as night. Take your notebooks and listen again. If you don't have it, ask him, do you have the highlights of tonight? So that when tomorrow will come to build on this. If you don't yet get this, you'll be lost in transit. So my prayer, nobody will be lost in transit. That's why the audios for today and tomorrow will be available within the week. You start from day one. Listen to it over and over and over again. And then you enter day two and comprehend, waiting for the next weekend. So that when we come next weekend and build, if we are in Lagos, or if you are in any place in the realm, you are there. Not that you are trying to catch up. These are not shared for information's sake. They are shared for transformation's sake. It's not here to acquire information. It's to secure revelation for transition. Securing insight for new sites. Insights for new sites. New sites. And what will new sight accomplish in you? Transition, shift, change, transformation. You are in a place of destiny, transition, and transformation tonight. What makes men is access. When men have paid all their price in God, God gives them access. They say, worthy is the lamb that was killed, slain. But the slain lamb was worthy to receive access to the book. Christ offered his life in heaven, then they gave him access. So no one was worthy to open the book until the one who was slain, because he was slain, is worthy to have access. All your labor is in Christ Jesus. Christ will give you access. I am. Know the things that account for life and godliness. Paul found this, the apostle, and he said, he has given us all things that account, that make for life and godliness through the revelation of Christ, through the knowledge, through the revelation. So everything that we account for, your life, your Zoe, the experience of your eternal life, and the godliness has to do with likelihood to God, likeness of God, power, signs, holiness, consecration, purity of living. It will come to you as the place of access to the knowledge of Christ, mysteries in Christ Jesus. You are here at the table of testing. Can be anything from here. It is mysteries that makes men. They give men masteries. It's not where they are. It's what you have that secures your life, not where you are. That's why there are still poor people in the richest countries in the world. They tell you the domestic GDP of this nation is like this. You still see homeless people living there. But you still see wealthy people that are far richer than people in wealthiest nations. We have wealthy people in Nigeria that are richer than people living in the richest nations in the world. It's not where you are, it's what you have. You don't have a problem of location. You have what you need to secure is revelation. And that is what Christ is giving you. Not revelation that informs, revelation that transforms, changes from lava to the beautiful living creature that has the patterns of beauty and the rainbow of his wings. You are face to face with revelation and encounters, but at the same time presented before you is an option. What will you do? Moses said, "Now I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." He said, "But I advise you, choose life that you may live." At the same time, he set before you the things that are made for life and godliness. Why not receive them and apply it again? Let everyone, if they are now willing, take what this so seriously. Lord, I desire to translate. It's not a man you have, it's Christ that you are encountering and face to face with. Christ takes note and marks everyone here. Whoever makes a deal with him, he will visit them after out. Even though we have concluded here tonight, he will still continue to visit them wherever they are. I'm saying this with every passion and heat in our spirit, because we know what these words are possible to accomplish by God. It accounts for everything that makes for life and that makes for godliness. So, Father, we give you praise. Takash Nekos Kupas. Go ahead and give him praise. What will you do tonight? What will you do overnight? What will you pray overnight? Why not pray, Lord? Change my name. There are people that are in a realm of darkness. That is, the altar in their family puts them in darkness. Like we said yesterday, where you stand in heaven or where you are in heaven will determine where you will stand in the earth. Some people's problem are not because they are not getting a job, their CV is bad, they are tied in a realm. Today and in this weekend, any of such realm that anybody is tied, contrary to the realm that Christ wants you to operate, tonight that realm is scattering for you to break out in the name of Jesus. As you will be growing in the understanding and revelation of Christ as to the realms in Christ Jesus, that is how you'll be coming out of any dark place that is not where Christ has placed you. You'll be emerging out of it with light. Because the Bible says revelation will make you free. Truth makes free. Truth. You shall know it. It will make you free. So you will be emerging out of every dark place any enemy is trying to enforce on you. I am seated in a realm with Christ. You can't be cowed by any satanic force. I'm not in their level. I'm not in their realm. You will attain to all of that over this weekend and over the course of this teaching. It will change. Let's go ahead. Let's give him praise for his word. Thank him, worship him. Go ahead, pray. So, Father, we give you praise. Be thou exalted. Be glorified. Thank you, mighty God. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen.